but because it's scary, and more importantly, because it can be misunderstood. God is long-suffering. Are you getting my point? Long and ever are two different words. He's not ever suffering. Life has seasons. I'm trying to say this so that I don't... You know, I'm very careful. Do you know when Israel missed God and asked for a king? God selected the best king they had for them at that season. Do you know that? He didn't select the worst because he's angry. But he told them, you will suffer under this king. And they did. When God appointed Saul for them, he also anointed him. The Bible says that Saul, God changed his heart. That is, God turned him, I think New Living Translation, or today's English version, Good News, says God turned him to a different kind of person. Saul was reserved and cool. But when he took up the anointing as a king, what's happening? Give me my sword. What happened? People say, why did this man begin to talk like this? What am I saying? God blessed them as much as he could, even though they were in the midst of disobedience. And when I say could, the Bible says he could there do no mighty work. We're talking about Jesus when he went to his hometown. He could not do much mighty work, except that he laid his hand on a few sickly folk and healed them. This was somebody who had the power. What am I saying? When I say God blessed them as much as he could, what I mean is that he blessed them as much as their disobedience allowed. He pushed the blessing to the limit, to the extent that he wouldn't break his righteousness. He tried to help them. And even Samuel said, I won't sin against God by stopping to pray for you. They said, it's not what I'm trying to say. Be careful when you are judging testimonies. A man was blessed does not mean that's a sign of God's total approval. Sometimes men go to places where God did not send them and they experience blessing because of God's mercy, but they missed the appointed time. What they will have become in life, you will never find out. I know what I'm saying. I'm trying to say things so as not to scare people. Because even though God is long-suffering, God does not give you time forever to waste his time. The reason is that you're not the only one. God loves you so much, Jesus will have come to die for only you. Amen? But he didn't come to die for only you now. He came to die for multitude. Why should he now, because he loves only you, now remove the blessing of the other part of the multitude? I don't know whether you hear what I said. If you won't obey God, you're not delaying only yourself, you are delaying me too. And when 20 of us that you are delaying cry to God, God will soon get tired of waiting for you. He has to find a replacement for you. And hear me, once you have been replaced, you are permanently replaced. You hear what I said?
Yes,
once you have been replaced, you are what? Permanently replaced. You take the next best thing that God can give you in life. Unfortunately, that thing is really better than a lot of people have experienced. So they think you are blessed. If you're a preacher, you know, because I'm a preacher, I'm careful. And I've learned a lot of things, all right? If you're a preacher, I can share some things with you. Go and read Kenneth Hagin, please. The man said once that God said you're a prophet and a teacher. Years later, I understood it. I think any preacher today that has not eaten and read Kenneth Hagin inside out is not a serious man. And I mean that as I'm serious. I mean it seriously. Let me say it one more time. There are certain books that if you have not read, as of today, as a preacher, I wonder whether you are normal. Kenneth Hagin wrote, he gave gifts unto men. He wrote Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. He wrote Following God's Plan for Your Life. He wrote Ministry Gifts. He wrote I Believe in Visions. Those five books and a few other, but those five, read them like seven times each before I know you have started reading them. There's a reason why I'm saying it. You will read how ministers missed their appointed time. You will see how they walked out of the will of God for their lives. And you will see how people tried to entice him to also walk out of the will of God for his life. So that what he became, he never would have become if he had answered them. Anything you are doing in life, be wary, all right? Be wary of things that are in vogue. Every preacher now starts a church. I'm not saying it's wrong, please. Are you getting my point? But for you, check before you join. I don't know what I hear and say. Check. Don't just be carried by the fad. Because if you do that, you may be found in a wrong place when your appointed time will come. I'm saying these things to warn people. You know, I said to you, my main thing today is, it is possible to miss the appointed time. And the appointed time, I believe, is tied to an appointed place. But both the place and the time, we do not know. What we do is just to cultivate the righteous living habit that allows us to be led without our knowing it. That's why I told the story of Saul. God can lead you without your knowing it. So that we'll be led into the appropriate place at the appropriate time. Crucial. And the next point I'm explaining is the fact that, listen, oh, God is long-suffering. He's not ever suffering. You can't depart forever from the place where he expects you to be and you think you wait there forever. After a while, God just said, okay, leave them alone. He said, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Let her be. Paul said, Demas has departed from me. Let us assume that being with Paul was the appointed place so that God's appointed time may come into his life. He said, Demas has departed because he fell in love with this current age. Everybody said, go and make money. What are you gaining from following Saul around or Paul around? I need to realize it. That after all, I have not yet built the house of my father. So he told Saul, and Paul, sir, I know you are called of God and we are shaking the world for Christ. But my father doesn't have a house yet. I'm a first son. Listen, let me tell you something. I was listening to one man on TV today where he said something I've always known anyway, nothing new, so I don't even have to quote him. You've heard me say it before. He said, he didn't say you cannot serve God and the devil. He said, everybody can still understand that. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. What I want to bring out is this. The things that make people walk out of the will of God are things that are very sensible and morally sound in the ears of the world. A man came to Jesus, said, I will follow you. Let me first go home and go and bury my father. He looked at him and said, you're a joker. Let the dead bury their own dead. He said, but you, come. Let's go and do the work of the kingdom. He said, except a man hates his father and mother and all such things, he can't be my disciple. That is, you must realize that obeying God and the call of God is more crucial than what you think are nice things. The world can be crazy. They drive you away from the center of the will of God. Demas has departed from me. Why? He fell in love with this current age. He wanted to do what people said should be done. So let us assume, I will say, that being with Paul was to be his appointed place. Where his appointed time will meet him. That was it. Something took him away. You know, I was saying to you earlier, I'm not saying there's a way you calculate the appointed place. But I'm saying there's a heart that you have that God now leads you by his own methods into the appropriate place. Are you getting my point? Quickly, let's read one of the... we read only one scripture, right? Okay, two. All right, quickly. There's one. The other one I wanted us to read actually is the story about Saul, the king of Israel. How he missed his appointed time. One of the ways by which people miss their appointed time is because they are in a hurry to satisfy people. You know, God said to Saul, as Samuel said to Saul, You will go down there and you wait for me 7 days. Interestingly, on the seventh day, you know, I've been reading that thing and I realized that, listen, chapter 13, 1 Samuel. In verse 8, he said, now he waited 7 days. Now, before this, there was trouble. And Samuel was supposed to come. And if you read the stories before it, you know Samuel had to be the one to offer the offering. In fact, the time that Saul met Samuel, the young women, he asked questions. What they said to him was that, go, he's coming for the offering. The people will not start to eat until the man comes to bless the offering. They were used to it. Samuel had to be the one to do it. And Samuel told him, wait, I'll be with you. You will wait 7 days. And now said in verse 8, now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came about as soon as he finished the burnt offering. It came about that as soon as he finished the burnt offering, that behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattering from me. And you did not come within the appointed days. And that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord, so I forced myself, disobeyed the order of God, and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. Let me stop it there. Let me read the next line. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. This is the point I want to make. This is one of the reasons why people miss God. Somebody told me a story once. You know, when they start prophecy, let me tell you something about prophecies. Let me quickly say it. Nobody, the first prophecy come to pass. So. Amen? Let me say it one more time. God has not called you and me to force prophecy to come to pass. So when you try to force prophecy to come to pass, you will produce Ishmael. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The greatest test, one of the greatest tests of faith is patience. Let me say it one more time. One of the greatest tests of faith is what? Patience. Ishmael came because of what? Impatience. What happened to Saul? It was pressure. And let me tell you something. There's no man who just wakes up and said that today I shall be impatient. It is pressure that drives them into impatience. I was going to say something. When somebody prophesies to you, now I hear people say, give this offering. If God does not bless you in 3 months, come back and refund your money. If anybody tells you that, he's either a criminal by nature or is a confused person. You know, so Pastor Banky, you talk very hard though. Because people are dull of hearing. So I have to talk hard so as to knock off the ear so that they will hear by force. I don't know how an adult can claim to be talking for God and he talks to you and you believe it. That he says, when you give this offering, well, light Allah, I swear by God, if God does not bless you, within the next 3 months, come back, I will refund your money. I've heard this several times. I don't blame the man who says it. It's the idiots that believe him that I worry about. If I ask the man, I say, okay, confess. Are you going to issue God? Are you going to issue me receipt on God's behalf? Because if I were to show up in about 4 months' time and say, okay, I gave 100,000, then God has not blessed me. How will you know I gave 100,000? And how will you know God has not blessed me? How will you know? Because that whether I was supposed to die 3 weeks ago, I didn't die. That I'm able to come to you and say God has not blessed me is proof that he blessed me. Because if he didn't bless me, I should be dead. These Christian
Christians who believe it that worry me. Let me say it to you. Christians must give. Amen? Amen. Are you a giver? Say, I am a cheerful giver. I am not a cheerful investor. I'm not saying you should repeat that one. You must give. When you give, forget it. So if God doesn't bless in 3 months, come back and collect your money. Say, oh God, I don't want it back. You know, something happened the other day. I'll tell you the gist, and you're going to laugh. This happened just yesterday. I entered my house. I mean, let me finish laughing, then I'll tell you the story. The Lord is good. Let me tell you the story. I entered my house. My wife had given, you know, I have a number of children, you know, because you've seen all of them. Now, my second guy, you know, my is a Olubenga, is number two. The number three is a girl. And they're very close in age, all right? Just by a year. So they're very close, you know. So I entered the house. My wife had given them cake, all right? Cut a piece of cake for them and juice in cups. So I sat down. And my daughter was sitting beside me. So I said, that's my cake. She said, no. I said, it's mine. She said, no, it's my own. So we know we're playing. Then she got up to go and get her glass of juice. And on her way back, I said, let me drink from your juice. She looked at me and said, no. And passed and went and sat down. Her brother was coming behind. So that one passed and I said, Olubenga, let me drink from your juice. And he handed me the cup. So the girl said, hey, Benga, you give daddy your cup, he'll finish it all. And listen to this. The boy turned to her. He said, now, God is my winner. I'm not adding words to it. He said, he's my daddy. And I love him. Why shouldn't I give him my drink? Those were his words. God in heaven is my witness. Turn to the sister and say, but he's my daddy. And I love him. So why shouldn't I give him my drink? So I took a sip from the drink, gave it back to him. And I think I'd even given him back when he was giving her that lesson. So I said, hey, Olubenga, you're my guy. A bowl of ice cream for you tomorrow. So my daughter turned around and gave me her drink. And this is what I said. I said, I don't want. This is a Pentecostal gift. I said, I don't want. It's a Pentecostal gift. You know, I finished saying before I realized that I'm talking to children who have no idea which one is charismatic, Pentecostal, Orthodox. But that was what I said to her. I said, I don't want. This one is a Pentecostal gift. A gift to God and hold one corner of it. Say, God, multiply it. I don't hold them. I know the one will be my own. Say, when you give to God, you must be expecting something. As a Jaguda principle. Amen? I won't say more than that. I'm not going to start preaching that now. There's a reason why I'm saying so. When someone tells you that this year, no matter what, it must happen. Amen. But they know the first time. This year, you shall wait. And if at the end of the year, nothing has happened, he said, God's year must be longer than the one I'm looking at because a day with him is like 1,000 years. This year, it will still happen. Are you getting my point? When they say, wait 7 days, I will come and offer the offering. 7 days end when the man comes to give the offering. Are you following my point? When Samuel shows up to slaughter the ram, that's when 7 days ends. He won't say now that he has not come. I heard this just before. A woman had gone to church. You know that kind of thing. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. It don't sow seed. It don't do everything. 1 year passed. Second year passed. Third, after some time, when the husband had not showed, now I tell the friend, say, well, God has been wasting my time. So I shall take laws into my own hands. Say, what I'm looking for now is any man who will just impregnate me. When I heard the story, I told my wife, I said, shit, you see, God sees hearts. Are you getting my point? The pastor is seeing prayer. Amen, amen, amen. That's what God is looking in the heart. Said this one, there's no patience. That is nothing. He said, should I prove it to all of you? They said, prove it. He said, okay, let's just withhold the blessing small. All these breakthroughs that are tied to dates. Are you following what I'm saying? That when they tie dates to prophecy, it's not your job to make it come to pass.
Are you getting what I'm saying? I said to you earlier, it's not all of them we can discuss today. We'll go back to that parable of the Lord Jesus Christ about the foolish virgins again. People who are not prepared. But now I'm just emphasizing the fact that people easily get pushed away from the appointed place. Are you getting my point? One of the reasons what I'm discussing, when they are impatient, they look like troubles are coming. I discovered that life has seasons. Are you following my point? One of the problems you have these days, I don't think it's just these days, it's been there for a long time, what we call in Christianity covetousness, is when a 16-year-old boy compares himself to a 60-year-old man. Are you getting my point? Yes. He sees a man, a big man, and decides that he can accomplish what that man accomplished at the age of 60, at the age of 16. I'm not saying it is impossible, but it's not your job. Let God do it. Are you getting my point? Listen, each time in life has his assignments. Do you follow my point? Each season has divine duties that he has put inside. When you are young, there are things he expects you to do. And please, you know, if somebody was telling a story a few days ago, and I told I was talking with a friend of mine, and that man was there, he was telling a story that his father, something that happened between him, well, his father and some people in their village. One young man came, you know, these people that, you know, I will say many things. I pray you will learn many things from those things I'm saying. Let me define a false prophet to you again. A false prophet. Listen, let me tell you one more time. I don't care the kind of suit he wears, all right? But my friend, another of my friends said yesterday too, that these days, Babalawos and DBS, they have now started wearing suits and carrying Bible. Yes, because all this one of sitting under a thatched roof, you know, and then at the pouring libation, it doesn't work anymore. So they've come out, they've gone to market, bought a few Armanis, you know, some nice Brutinis, and then spray some perfume and carry a Bible. All they do is divination. Maybe those of you in Eastern Nigeria are just seeing it. Those of you in the West, I've been seeing it for a very long time. It's not today. Babalawos in the West, they converted to Christianity long ago. Some of them are Islamic priests, some are Christian priests. All of them do the same thing. They offer sacrifices beside waters. They give you animal prescriptions. You know, get my point? Goats. And they still carry Bible. And they still lead prayer in church on Sunday. They are very common. You get my point? Uh-huh. There are some fake priests like that. They call themselves pastors. There are plenty. A false prophet, let me define it for you, is a man who, when you tell him you have problems, listen to me, he points to somebody as the cause of your problem. Anybody who does that is a false prophet. Let me say one more time. I know people out there, they like to be deceived. Your enemies, anybody who false faces your uncle, your auntie, your cousin, somebody as a source of your problems, and he's talking spiritually now, he's a liar. Say, Pastor Banky said to you that he's lying. Listen, your problem is you. If your heart is right with God, all the Philistines gathered together with all their demons can't do you anything. If any witch is doing something to you, you are sick spiritually. Did you hear what I said? False prophets, they don't make demands on you concerning your righteousness. False prophets, they don't make demands concerning your walk with God. False prophets always direct your eyes to other people. That's the common thing in Nigeria of today. And when you go there, you want to know who's afflicting you. Are you getting my point? I'm a pathologist. Several times, in fact, it has not happened recently. When I first came to Enugu, then a lot of people will come. Somebody died. They want to do autopsy. The Holy Spirit gave me inspiration. I used to tell them that, listen, at autopsy, I don't find witches. I don't find wizards. I'm a scientist. Are you getting my point? I will find the anatomical cause of death. I will find the certified WHO recognized disease that killed the person. Are you getting me? Just by the way. No, I'm telling you things. A man was in my office a few days ago. They said somebody died. Okay, that before he died, they said, oh, my brothers have killed me. And I laughed. They told me I'd been coughing. They told me a few things. I just tapped one of my colleagues beside me. I said, let's put money on it. That guy died of a left ventricular failure. And we went and did the autopsy, and he died of a left ventricular failure because he was severely hypertensive. The signs were so clear. But because he's an African, it is his brother. Why? Because he went home shortly before then. My brothers have killed me. Ignorance killed him. Bad practice killed him. His unrighteousness may have killed him. But it's Africa. It has to be his people. Nobody dies naturally. In the same manner, nobody fails naturally. Half of them, go and see the way they run businesses. Stupid creatures that are running businesses. They don't know accounting. They don't know anything. How much money did you make last week? They have no idea. As they made the money, they spent it. Then when the business collapses, he's his mother-in-law. The day of their wedding, she was not smiling. The Lord is good. I'm saying many things. I hope you are learning some things. The story I was telling you, the guy said in their village, one young man came and he wanted either his prayer or he came to report that they have to find out the cause of his problems. He has done many businesses, he did not succeed. So he said his father began to analyze for the young man. Listen, you go to school? No. When he was in Form 2, GSS 2, he said he's tired of education. He wants to do business. So they left him to go and do business. He went to Onitsha. Spent 8 months and decided that he was tired of being in Onitsha, that he's going to, is it Chad or Burundi? I've forgotten where. Then he did business there for another 1 year. You know, from what I've told you, you know he can never do well in life. Do I need to tell you more than that? GSS 2, you got tired of going to school. Okay, say so you will learn trade. No problem. So they found you a place to become an apprentice in Onitsha. You spent 8 months. Have you heard of that before? 8 months, you got impatient. Now he's a middle-aged man. His whole life is a mess. He has come back now to find out who is worrying him. You see what false prophets do? You know, and he said, the man telling us the story, he said his father sat him down and analyzed his life for him and told him, see, you are the one worrying yourself. Get us from here. Nobody's worrying you. It's obvious nobody's worrying you. Listen, as Christians, let's not let nobody come. Look, you are the light of the world. Correct people. Are you getting my point? Let them know. When they start blaming people, you don't need to blame anybody. Even I'm not saying there are no enemies. I just say there are no enemies. Do you think they have more enemies than I have? We all have enemies, amen? So you see, life has seasons. That young man did not recognize his season. At start from 2, he should have settled down in school and read. That's what I'm going to say. One of the reasons why people miss the appointed time of God and the appointed place. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's why I went into the story of that young man. Just like why I'm trying to remember the young man and I quickly give you some things about false prophets. All right? Now, the young man didn't understand that life has seasons. There are things you do at certain times. All right? And listen to me. If you don't want to miss the appointed time and the appointed place of God for your life, recognize the job for each season. I've said it to you again and again. If I see a young man at the age of 25, he's driving an Armada. I'm not impressed. It's one of three things. One, either his father is very rich. All right? Or he's a criminal. Or it's one of the few cases in which God does something unusual. Are you getting my point? So why should I be impressed? If your father is very rich, is it my fault that my father is not very rich? If you're a criminal, do I want to be a criminal? And if it's an unusual thing that God did in your life, fine. Enjoy it. What he wants to do in my life may be that at the age of 25, I'll be raising the dead. You will be raising the cars. Fine. It's okay. We'll all meet at the judgment seat of God. Do you get my point? Yes. Listen, I know the season in life in which I'm supposed to just be sowing seeds. Now I've told you before, oh my God, my time is up and I have promised myself I'm going to end on time today. Listen to this. In life, there are seasons. If you don't recognize that, you will miss God's appointed time. What do I mean? There is a season in which you are supposed to be sowing seeds. You are not allowed to even wish for a harvest. You pray for sustenance. I've told young men, young women, you just leave school. As soon as you start any money, it's not the time to start. Praise God. It's time for us two to be living large. Go back to the school where you graduated. You knew how difficult things were at that time. Have you forgotten so fast? And you were in a fellowship. Come, give them offering. That's some of your friends that you left behind in school. That's their money. And stop deceiving yourself that your father is rich. I've never seen a rich man that does not appreciate a gift. I've never seen. Oh, I've seen one. And he's a crazy man. Yes, I know one. Every other one I know, if you give them an orange, they will thank you. And they're not lying. They appreciate it. A man gave me 2,000 naira a few days ago. And do you know, I was telling my colleague that you won't know how happy. Now, listen. I had money in my bag. The 2,000 was not my issue. I just saw the man on the road. So as soon as he stopped me, he stopped. And he started, you know, checking his pocket. And I said, oh, but you won't give me money. He's my colleague. I'll just play. Then I started looking through envelopes. I said, please, you won't give me money. Then he brought out the envelope. And I saw my name on it. And he handed it over to me. And it contained 2,000 naira. And I was glad the whole day. Why was I glad? It's simple. What he gave me money for was for a job I did, which I had done again and again and again and again, and I thought it was a free job. I had never been paid for it in my life. The point is that I have done it so many times, nobody has ever given me money for it. I didn't know they ever gave money. And he explained to me that actually, that later he would even be paying better. This is the point I'm making. 2,000 wasn't big money, but because of where it came from, I was excited. It wasn't even money I spent. I gave somebody who I was supposed to give some money to. So I just gave the fellow. It was close by me. I saw him shortly after. This is what I'm making. If you give your father a gift, if you give him a gift that it came from you, is the issue. It's not because he's in lack. The other time, my wife does this a lot. She just buy a recharge card and scratch 1,000 naira or 750 or 15 MTN and send to her mother, send to her father. You know, send to different people. 750 naira card for some people is a joke. You get what I'm saying? And there are people who just talk on the phone. They don't know how much they are charging. If you like charge 700 naira a minute, they don't know. They just talk. At the end of the month, they pay bill. They don't know how you calculated it. But she would do that. Why? The Bible says a son honors his father. It's a law. It's not about that the father is poor or rich. When you are just starting out in life, that's the kind of thing you do with money. It's not the time to say, you know, yes, praise God. You now go and sit amongst your friends and you now start showing off the fake watch that they sold to you for a high price because you're so stupid. God made them sell you a fake watch. They call it a Rolex. I don't know, Rolexes have like 10 different grades of imitation. Some are in China, cost like $10 equivalent. They sold it to you for $75, 75,000 naira. There's no Rolex that cheap in life. But you didn't know, now you're an idiot, now you bought it. Because you are not doing the will of God, so you're serving Satan. You get what I'm saying? There's a season in life, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You work for a boss, it's not about how much am I making. It's how much am I learning and how much am I making him rich. That's all. Hear what I said? How much am I learning and how much am I making him rich? I pray for sustenance. It's a season in life. And like my friends and I were talking a few days ago, one of them said something. Because they're talking about preachers and how preachers make money and all of that. And the main guy that I was talking with is a minister. And he laughed. He said, Pastor Banky, me and you will be Jew men in this business. And we laughed. You don't get my point? That we don't do those things. And the third guy said, all these things have a payday. That's what he said. Is there anything we do? Oh boy, there's payday. The one you are doing, there's payday. The one they are doing, there's payday. That's what I'm trying to bring out there. For all these things, there's what? Payday. When you don't recognize this, you run away from the place that God says, stay here, learn. So that, listen to this, so that when the appointed time comes, you'll be ready. Many people have gone to places where they won't be ready for anything. When the appointed time comes, they are ill-prepared. They can't handle nothing. They can't handle jack. Why? Because of temporal gain. Let me end my message. Your life is not an accident. Did I hear an amen? You can't wish better for yourself than God has planned for you. Did I hear an amen? Greater things than you can ever imagine is what God has planned for you. And if you can ever imagine, I told you before last time, go and write it down. It is for an appointed time. Then locate the assignment for each season. Let me recommend these two messages again as I leave. How to wait for God 1 and how to wait for God 2. I'm not even sure there's how to wait for God 3. We have a set of them. How to wait for God. Go and learn how to wait for God. And it's simple. You occupy until He comes. The day he's going to come here, set a time for it. Make sure you are ready. That's what we are saying. Make sure you are what? You are ready. You are a preacher. You won't have the time to study. Are you getting me? And write. And meditate. As much as you have now, you won't have it then when the appointed time comes. You'll be too busy. So God keeps you in a cooler until his appointed time. What do you do when you're in the cooler? Is you occupy, make full use of that season. Because, oh boy, if you are not ready when the appointed time comes, one of two things happens. Either they kick you out entirely, have you thoroughly replaced, especially when you are not even there in the appointed place. Or two, you enter a level. You've entered the appointed season quite all right. But instead of operating at level of 0 to 100, instead of operating at level 100, you're operating at level 10. It's painful, but I'll add this one to it. The way you enter that level is generally the way you will complete it. You enter very low down spiritually. It's very difficult to increase it once you have entered into it. Are you getting my point? Listen, Saul was a useless king because he was a useless man. Go and read the first few things he did. With all the anointing on him, he was making very useless judgments. He made a judgment. His son, Jonathan, was angry. Young man. You can imagine Saul became king at the age of, was he 30 now? Yes. Shortly after that, he had a son, Jonathan. How old could Jonathan have been? Maybe a teenager. Yeah, the guy was angry at his father's decision. The man made some useless decisions. Why? He was the best king Israel had. They were not ready to have a king. I don't have time to go into that. You'll have known how God wanted them to their king to arise. None was good enough, but the way he entered, that's how he died. If you are blessed today, say amen. You didn't learn anything today. So let's bless the Lord. Just say, Father, we thank you. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.